And at this point, I want to invite Amanda up. She's going to share with us a little bit of, you know, what's going on in her life.
All right. Thanks, Dustin. And yes, I feel like this morning was, you just roll with it as things don't work out quite as you thought they might. So we had a little technical difficulty with emails and technology and two-factor authentication and how I use my Australian phone in the US. So we did not have access to the PowerPoint like I thought we would, which has some videos and some stories from people and some of the work that is taking place through Power to Change in Australia and beyond. So that is your teaser for next week, when I will come back and share those stories and a little bit more of what God is doing through what he has called myself and about 180 others to do in Power to Change in Australia and beyond. So we'll have stories next week, but you know, by the grace of God, God gave me a little devotional that actually ties in so well with the songs that we sang this morning. I thought, wow, God is so good that his ways are not our ways, and we roll with his ways when things don't go as we had planned. So that's what we're doing this morning. So we will have just a short reflection from myself that really ties in both with the work that God is doing and my life at the moment. So let me pray for us, and then I will just give us a word from the word and a word from my life and let the Lord use that. So let's pray. Father, we come before you as your kids, and we just thank you for the privilege we have of knowing you. And I pray that your Spirit will speak through me this morning, that your word will speak for itself, and that you will just use the thoughts that you have brought to my mind to encourage and bless and minister to those who are hearing them. So we just ask for your power to be working in just a mighty way today, Lord. And we just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think most, if not everyone, knows that the big reason that both myself and Kenneth, my husband, are back here in SIO is to do the hard work of cleaning up and preparing the family farm to sell, as my father passed away in February, so the last of my living parents. And so we've been back about a month, and it's been hard work. It's a season of sitting with memories and cleaning up and cleaning out and preparing to close a chapter of life. It's just hard. But in the mix of the things that are hard, God did not promise an easy life. And it's often in the hard and the difficult and the challenging that God works in a way that we can never expect or imagine. And I believe often he does a greater work than we even imagine, because those are the seasons that strengthen us in ways that we don't even know he's working, I think, half the time, maybe more than half the time, in building some of our faith muscles as we kind of dig in. And we have for me, this season is a season of last experiences. And last night, yesterday, so my parents own 85 acres of land, and about 55 are leased out and farmed. And ryegrass has been grown on them for I don't know how many years now. And so it had been cut pre-July 4, and I've been kind of hanging out waiting for the harvest and for all of the equipment to roll onto the property. And there is just a joy I find in watching that. So the combines and the trucks and the balers all showed up yesterday. I'm like, oh wow, they're harvesting the field or the fields. There are three fields on the property. And so that was probably about 8 o'clock last night. I kind of looked out the window just to see where things were at. And they had actually baled a good majority of the largest field. And I said, hey, Kenneth, come out and let's just sit and watch this. And it was a therapeutic moment for me. I didn't start the day out thinking, this is one of those milestone markers in life. And God has just been very gracious to me where I've had a number of trips back home during the harvest season. And I just find great joy in watching that whole process. And so we kind of talked about it as we watched the guy that picks up all of these gigantic bales and seeing how that's done and moving it into the big, huge stack that will sometime in the next few days be picked up by a semi-truck. And they were still working on the north field with combines still going and finally going, calling it a night. And it was just a beautiful time of sitting out there and watching all of this. And Kenneth and I were talking, it's like, I wonder how many people are in the crew. And, you know, I could go, well, we have at least two people in the combine, someone in the truck catching the seed. It's like we have the guy out there picking up the bales, and there's at least one other person I could account for. So I knew there were at least five men, or women, I don't know, five on the crew out there working. But we sat and we watched the sunset and just enjoyed the moment. This morning, as I was just kind of reviewing my notes and sitting with God a little bit, he brought to mind the passage in Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." It was almost 30 years ago that I said yes to the Lord in stepping into full-time mission and going out into the harvest field. But that time I didn't know the Lord would take me to the harvest field of Australia, a country that, like many countries around the world, that they need to know Jesus. It's a country that sport and self are the idols. Some of the idols, not the only idols, but it's a culture that does not recognize Jesus very much. So probably less than 5% of the people would be active people who are connected with Jesus in a very personal way. So that's 95% of a country of about 25 million people. So there are a lot of souls that need to hear the good news of the Lord. And next year, I will share some of the harvest stories of where God is at work. And they extend beyond the borders of Australia through some of our teams. I have a story of a young man who connected with us, and he lives in Sweden. We send people to some of the least reached countries of the world that fall within that 1040 window of countries where the gospel is not openly welcomed. So I look forward to sharing a little bit more about the harvest, but kind of connecting that back to what we experienced last night and watching the harvest. It takes a multitude of people to bring in the harvest. Each of you sitting here as Scio Baptist is a part of my team, you are a part of the harvest that is taking place through the work that is happening in Australia. So be encouraged that you are a part of our harvest overseas in that location. The other thought that the Lord brought to me this morning was, and it's just connected really with, again, with what God has called me to do, what God has called each one of us to do, irregardless of whether we wear the hat of missionary as a work title. We are all missional because we're God's kids, and He has called us to that. And it was just the reminder, and it's part of who, a big mantra of our organization crew here in the U.S., Power to Change in Australia, different names depending on what country you live in. But that's the Great Commission. And so Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And so, irregardless of where we live, what our job is, and what we do, we are all called to be a part of helping to fulfill the Great Commission. And just as we live our life, we never know when a kind word or what may seem to us is a simple conversation has an impact on someone else. We are called to be salt and light and to be prepared at all times. And God uses who we have each uniquely been designed to be according to Him. And we all have people in our circles of influence who probably need to hear the good news. So my encouragement to myself, because I'm not the perfect model Christian, and I struggle sometimes in how do I share in this situation, or you have a conversation with someone and you say nothing and you go, man, I wish I missed an opportunity. But God is still at work. God is still at work. And so just want to encourage you, just as you go through your days, just to invite the Lord into each and every situation, and to trust that He is using you, because He is. And so may we be light and salt and people who model a life that follows Jesus to the best of our abilities. So just encourage you in that, and to be reading your Bible and looking at the life of Jesus, seeing how He did it, because we have much to learn. I feel like I've been doing this for over 30 years, walking with the Lord for over 30 years, and mission for 28 full-time. But I'm still very much a disciple, and I have my moments where I go, what? What are you doing? I don't get it. But God uses us. He uses the broken and the imperfect to speak in to the lives of others who are broken and imperfect. So, there's just a short little devotional, a word from the Word today. And next week I'll come back with a whole bunch of stories and just some really exciting things that God is doing in our ministry, and things that we're really trusting Him for as we look forward. And some of that actually overlaps to a little bit of what God is doing through our global organization that you two can be a part of here in Scio, Oregon. So watch this space. So thanks for having me. I'll invite Dustin up to transition us.
Thanks for sharing. We look forward to what you have to share next week too. So as we just think about this table we have, we put it in the middle of our room here, we preach the word over it, we invite people up to it. I notice there is one table. There's not two tables. There's not an individual table for each of us. And I just think about the way our country has gotten worse and worse at disagreeing and talking to each other and loving each other and kind of being heartbroken at the way that Christians often get sucked into those toxic conversations and habits. And just being very thankful that we have a God who transcends any petty fights we have in our culture, that we have a God who is capable of just blowing up a tree in the space of a millionth of a second, just that we are called to share one meal together, that we're invited to a table that is open to anyone, regardless of their background or their creed, or I guess, well, some creeds, you know, are better than others coming to the table. But regardless of the strengths and weaknesses that we have, regardless of our particular brand of politics, all of that is just set aside in the unity that we find at the table with each other and with God. And so this morning, as we come forward and we share in this, I just want you to realize, to remind yourself, to find some kind of remembrance, as we see on the front of that, of the unity that we have with each other. And that's a unity with teeth. It's a unity that risks. It's a unity that costs us something to set aside other stuff we might value in our lives in order to be close to one another. To realize that no power outage or lightning strike or disagreement can really separate us from each other, that we're going to be together for all eternity. So might as well get used to it now. So let's practice that. I'm going to have the worship team come on back up here. We're going to do a song, and you're invited to come in, you know, have a snack.